What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Weird News Wednesdays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast, and we are back again talking all the strangest news stories from around the world. We talk about the news that the real news is too afraid to talk about. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
Pretty good, Connor. I crushed a sugar-free Red Bull before this, so let's see what happens.
Wonderful. Now we're going to get perfectly nuanced thoughts and absolutely just crisp audio, I can only assume.
Last time I did this, we had otters excavating a dam.
That's true. If this is your first episode, maybe go back and listen to the otter episode. I don't know what it's called. It'll be in our top 10 weird news stories of 2023.
Top 9, please. I'll have you know.
Top 9. Sorry, Sean, forgot to edit in number 9, ironically.
We're going to be paying for that for a year.
Shout out to Spanish trains being too big for the track. Never got shown. If this is your first episode, you don't have to do anything. Don't worry about it. But if it is your second and above, we would really appreciate a like, a follow, 5 stars on Spotify. There's 3 little dots at the top. Just click that, rate show, click 5 stars. You're laughing.
It's that easy. It's really easy to do, and it makes us feel good.
And so thank you to everyone who has given us 5 stars so far. You're all absolute legends. We also have a Patreon where we do movie reviews, and we recently reviewed Madame Web, which is a great movie, Sean.
It is a movie, to be sure.
Which is a better movie, Madame Web or Dune 2?
Oh, I'd have to say, ultimately, God, I really want to make the joke, but I can't. It's Dune 2. It's so good.
So this is Weird News Show. What do we do here?
You have spent the week gathering all of the weirdest news stories from around the world. You're about to read them all out to me, a man who has been ingesting too much caffeine to look at any weird news.
How many times have you seen Dune in the last week?
Only the one. I've seen Dune 1 once and then Dune 2 as well once.
But that's rookie numbers.
It's rookie numbers, but the cinema, it's far away from my house. It's a tough one to get to. I don't drive.
We're getting old.
It's uphill most of the way. Fuck that.
It's a bit cold. My knee hurts when it's cold.
I did see it in the comfy cinema screen, though. And my God, is that good.
Oh, good. That's good.
The chairs that recline and shit. Man. So what a way to live.
The affluence out. We're going to get straight into weird news this week because there's only one place that I can start. And normally every week something goes mad on Twitter. So last week we had the Willy Wonka chocolate factory up in Scotland. This week nothing really stood out. So I'm picking one specifically that I found funny that I want to start with that I think is right up your alley. Because
I guess.
Go for it.
Is it the Star Wars editing thing?
We're not covering that, but that is quite funny.
Okay, good. Then I'm going to be amused at this.
They were editing advertisements into Star Wars, the 1970s and 80s Star Wars movies. Yeah. I think it was in Chile, wasn't it?
Yeah, Chile, and it was for like cervezas. And they were just Obi-Wan goes to pick up a lightsaber and he pulls up a cold beer.
So they didn't want to like stop the movie, but they also had to do the ads in between the movie, so they just edited the ads into the film, so it must have been like so weird watching
but it's fantastic now, and it's now the best long game in the history of marketing.
But like why does nobody else do that? Like I want to see characters in a movie just fucking buying random shit, like go to Toys R Us randomly in a scene.
But I don't want it like product placement. I want it edited in after the fact and just made to work somehow.
Really clumsily. Just like a hand that could never be that character's hand reaching in to get a different product every time.
That's the only way it's funny. So what Twitter drama are we covering?
We're covering something that didn't really pop up on Twitter but popped up on my weird street, timeline, I suppose. Teacher hosts sword fights in class, sends bloody teen to hospital, lawsuit says.
In many ways, the best lesson is to fear the blade.
So look, we've all been to school, I assume. You've had those teachers that are cool, those teachers that are annoying, those teachers that are like trying to get everyone involved.
Yeah.
But once in a while you get a teacher that everybody loves. And not only that, but they really create a community. They really create a, we're all in this together and we're all learning, I don't know, geography. Fuck jizz, I love Oxbow Lakes.
I knew you'd say Oxbow Lakes.
Oh, I love a Cirrus Cloud. But it's a shout to Cirrus Clouds. Sean. This teacher, instead... decided, this is in New Mexico, and this is from a few years ago, but the lawsuit has only happened this week, so that is why we are talking about it. Because this teacher decided the best way to kind of build camaraderie within the classroom, to build a bit of trust with the students, is to bring in katana-style swords and then have the students fight each other with the weapons in pairs.
Non-sharpened, surely.
Sharpened.
Why do you... Okay.
So, the teacher no longer works at the school, as she was fired 2 months later, after the initial complaint.
2 months it took to get rid of her.
Well, I suppose the idea is that your students come home and they say, we had katana sword fights in class today. I think as a parent, it's tough to believe that, especially for a bunch of 14-year-olds who are just mouthy pricks.
Would you not give him, like, wooden ones? Like, training katana first? Because even a samurai doesn't get a real katana straight away.
So the reason... she needs to work them up. So, like, you start off with the wooden ones and then you maybe you move on. I suppose nunchucks always a viable option as well.
I don't think giving 14-year-old nunchucks is a way to avoid injury. Personally.
Yeah, but I think it'd make them look like fucking legends, so you have to factor that in.
You get about 3 second window on a nunchuck where you look cool, and then it's just, you're waiting for the fuck
and
up
and then you're hitting the balls or the face, and then at that point it's game over.
Balls or, if you had to pick to hit yourself with nunchucks, are you thinking balls or face?
These are the questions that nobody else asks. Okay, so how hard is it?
How are the nunchucks?
Yeah.
Hey!
I just love nunchucks. Jesus, that guy really loves nunchucks. Holy shit. It's
like, we're talking classic nunchucks, so like wooden handle wrapped in a bit of cloth with like a chain in between them.
I might take face.
I think I'd also take face, honestly.
Yeah.
At least you could claim someone else hit you with nunchucks.
The student who was 16 when she was injured in class that day initially recorded the video of a duel between two male students. So we know from the video basically how this has happened. So in the video, the students are seen wielding the swords in the centre of the classroom. One makes repeated advances towards the other as their blades continuously clash. When the video starts, the teacher yells, "Go!" And is seen supervising the situation as a timer is displayed on a projection.
They're incredibly willing to just sword fight right off the bat, these students.
Yeah, but, okay, my follow-up question. 16-year-olds in a classroom, and you're like, you can sword fight. What 16-year-old isn't going to be like, yeah, I'm going to be the greatest sword fighter of all time?
That is true. Everyone... has the belief that they could pick up a sword and just be class with it immediately.
Yeah, but we assume that, but then you get one and you're like, oh wow, these things are sharp.
Yeah, and the girl that got injured, she wasn't even participating in the fight.
So she's recording the first fight. There's a series of Sean, it's not just a one bout system, it's not a big fight, it's a card.
Elimination style tournament going on, of course.
It's a pyramid scheme of fights. It's a tier system, and then they get to the final, obviously. But when the video starts, as I said, she shouts, "Go!" The student, and then at the end of the video, the teacher yells, tells one of the students, "You're definitely dead," to one of them. So they were also judging how the fight went as it went along.
But like that's not your standard samurai fight, is it?
You can't lose on points.
Yeah, it's not. It's not down to the verdict. Like, there's no ruling on it. It's just whoever dies.
So the student armed with a katana-style sword appeared to wield it defensively by parrying the other student's attacks, moving backwards and retreating away.
Yeah, he's trying to get his opponent on unstable ground.
One of them is retreating and the other one is on the offense at all times. And so
fair play to block that many wild sword strikes, by the way.
The other option is die.
That's the thing. And he just instinctively was able to do it. That's good. That's a better swordsman.
Attorney Jessica Hernandez said in a statement that it is absolutely shocking that she is the one who created the danger by putting the deadly weapons into the students' hands.
She got ready to go to work that day. And along with, my phone, my keys, my wallet, my purse, whatever. Also, and the two katanas as well.
Bring them along. Yeah, of course. And so, not only that, but to set up a 2-minute round system on a timer, and then at the same time set up each bout individually. So, what happened was one of the students, and this might surprise you, when they stepped up, they actually got scared. They got stabbed by the sword.
I believe they're sharp. That's what they're meant to do.
And her family have sued the school, which is why we're finding out about it, because obviously...
Justifiably so. That shouldn't have happened in the school.
As she was recording the two classmates fighting, the teacher selected her to fight another student. During the fight, the other student struck the teenager across her right forearm with the katana-style sword and basically cut her right hand and wrist, in which she began bleeding heavily, Sean, because she had been, and I don't know if you kept up with this, cut by a fucking katana.
Cut by a katana in the wrist as well. That's one of the bleedy places.
And then the teacher is on video and she says, I'm in trouble.
I need the backstory of what was going on in that woman's life to think that was okay to plan. Samurai had armor. They're allowed to have that.
Yeah, they had clothes. I mean, it's fine. Exact same thing. Instead of immediately calling for help, the teacher is also then accused of telling the class instead to delete the videos of the sword fights.
Because then there'll be no evidence, will there?
Other than this girl with no arm.
That's insane. Sure, they're not a teacher anymore. 2 months took for this to be suspended.
So I assume they had to go through a whole process, but she was probably suspended the next day.
What time in the day do you think this happened? What was history class like? I used to have a double lunch. History on a Thursday.
It's a big after lunch vibe off this thing.
It's like after lunch on a Friday. Let's all have a bit of fun.
Let's all settle in now. Instead of watching a movie, we'll make our own movie.
Can you imagine the tone change in that room once blood is drawn?
Not only blood, it says bleeding profusely. She was stabbed with a katana.
She got, I can't, it would be so much blood.
And apparently, meanwhile, as the teen began to feel nauseous and weak, another student ran to the health office for medical assistance, even though the teacher told them not to leave.
Wow, that's fucked up. Fair play to that student. For having the presence of mind to be no, we should get
someone. What's the fucking school nurse going to know? I'm the fucking expert around here. You're grand. Strap that up, go back in the bathroom.
Run it under a cold tap, you'll be grand.
So, Sean, what do you think about this? Do you think maybe coolest teacher ever or maybe worst teacher ever?
Up until something goes wrong, coolest teacher ever.
Yeah.
But then when you really think about it, that's a really dangerous person to have
as a teacher. The question you have to ask yourself is, how did it get to that point? Because there's has to be at least 50 steps before that the teacher's this is a good idea.
If you want to do that, what's... two things. One, what's to be taught from that lesson?
What is the lesson plan?
What is the lesson? Yeah. And then second, there are so many ways to do that don't involve bringing sharpened steel into a classroom.
Mm.
Get foam once and just have that be a bit of fun on a Friday, if that's what you're after. Yeah. Don't give them weapons.
No, I'm thinking rocket launchers. I think you give each of them a rocket launcher and then they try and fight it out to see who gets the best like blow up.
I don't mean to generalize, but American schools, right? It's got to be kind of difficult to bring weapons in. Surely.
Call me old-fashioned. I'm a strict don't be bringing weapons into a classroom vibe.
That's just how I was raised. It's how I like to think.
Well, I suppose we grew up in Ireland, so like the worst anyone had was like a compass.
I've been stabbed with a compass a few times.
You can do some serious damage with a compass, but technically the compass was for maths, so you kind of got away with it.
That was more of a MacGyver style kind of attack.
You couldn't really kill anyone with a compass, though. You could maybe a few pricks here and there, but like you're not like putting it through someone's wrist.
Unless you like poison the tip or something, or get it infected.
What were you doing?
Like no, I was having a great time in chemistry. Is what I was doing.
I don't think we could even consider like the idea of doing that. Like that's insane.
Like because Ireland, everyone has a hurl, I guess, in class, which is technically a weapon if you swing it.
But like you're not, unless you go head first, you're not going to kill someone.
Unless you're aiming to do damage. Like
unless you get like a, I'm going to say lucky shot, but you know what I mean. You get like a 1 in a million shot and it hits them right in the temple and they're dead.
Yeah, and then fucking half day, lads. What are we doing?
And then fucking Tommy's after taking one for the team, lads. We're all off for the weekend.
There was a kid in my class brought a penknife to school and he got suspended. Like,
yeah. Obviously.
Zero tolerance.
No knives. Step one.
Simple rules, lads.
Okay, we're going to have to move on to our next piece of weird news. I just wanted to start with that because, I mean, if you think your school is bad, I just feel like there needs to be more duels in classrooms. I think it adds a little bit of danger to it all, and I think you can take out maybe some of the bullies. You get like a good shot at the bully. Yeah. A fair 50-50 shot.
It could be like a David and Goliath situation where someone's cleverness wins out in the duel.
And you give the bully the smaller blade.
Or you give the nerd a gun, you know? Like, I don't make the rules. I'm just saying.
That is a joke in Ireland. I don't know if you can make that joke in America.
Well, the official stance of the Heroes for Hire podcast.
Yeah.
Guns, bad.
No, I think the official stance is just leave everyone alone, lads. Just honestly,
mind your own business.
Lads, it's hard enough waking up. You know what I mean? Just leave.
Our enemy is not the people that we spend our day to day with.
It's the inner me.
I was going to say it's the big corporations and billionaires who control everything. But other than that, work away.
Enemy is the inner me.
My enemy is my best friend.
So, Sean, we're moving on to our next piece of news. He does have some mad ideas about himself.
I'd be great with a katana.
I'd be amazing. Sean, plane passengers horror. Sean, what we're moving on to now is, you know when you're on a plane, you're stuck there.
Familiar.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, in a like, tube in the sky.
Can't really leave. So if something weird happens, what do you do? Well, Sean, I have possibly the strangest thing that's happened in that plane passenger's horror as person next to her brings in full rack of barbecue ribs and tucks into them sitting right beside her.
That's not even dangerous. It's just an asshole move, isn't it? How do you get barbecue ribs through an airport?
Well, I mean, that's exactly what my thought was. So plane etiquette, hotly debated online. Like, what do we do? What do we not do? What's okay? What's not okay?
I'm going to put a pin in that because I want to come back to this later.
What's not okay, Sean?
Well, I don't think that airline seats should go back.
I agree. Because,
hey, there we go.
Because, you're only intruding on the person behind you.
Exactly. And then you're forcing the decision on them to recline.
And then they're forcing back on the other person. Somebody's kneecaps are getting taken out.
Somebody's kneecaps getting taken out. People can't, like, eat their meals correctly. Those screens are at the wrong angle then. It's all fucked. All right? What I think...
How do you feel about taking your shoes off on a plane?
I don't do it. I'm not a fan of it, but I understand why people do it.
I don't take my shoes off anywhere, even at home.
Brother, I was on a 14-hour flight to Japan. I kept my boots on the entire time.
You're goddamn right. And they fucking stunk like, when I got them off.
But I was a fucking gentleman.
I'll tell you something though, you kept your respect. You kept it, the honour high.
I did. I kept my Irish pride strong.
But one plane passenger who was sitting in the window seat found, was baffled when the person next to her brought on an entire rack of barbecue ribs served with a side of fries and corn on the cob.
Where do you get that in an airport?
That is not on Ryanair, I'll tell you that now.
No, not a chance. Like, that's, of all the foods to bring on an airplane, that's one of the most egregious I can think of.
So this is, this story, by the way, is from last year, but we never talked about it, and it's just something I came across now, and I was like, that is so fucked up that I need to tell Sean this is happening.
Because they're like, they have a smell, they're sticky. You're left with bones afterwards.
Yeah, like ribs. Sticky. After you're finished, hands are sticky. That's the worst feeling in the world.
Corn. You're eating corn on the cob in between two people.
And after you do the ribs, the corn is like covered in the sauce and it's all sticky.
It's slipping around everywhere.
Oh, Jesus.
And you can't bring those little corn holders because they are spikes and they're illegal.
Imagine you bring the spikes. how do you even get rid of the ribs? You're not allowed to bring a knife. You got a shitty little plastic knife.
Depending on where you're flying, you can't transport meat.
That's true.
Like, you can't bring bones into another country, I'm sure.
I mean, is this the biggest power move of all time? Because, like, somebody else pulls out their, like, I don't know, gum or their chewy sweets for the takeoff, and you pull out a rack of ribs, I mean, you're winning that battle.
It is a good jaw exercise, that's true. I was on a train the other day and there was a lady who was eating a Ziploc bag full of boiled eggs but hadn't peeled the eggs yet and them on the train.
Fuck off. That is not true.
That 100% true. I was sitting beside her.
What kind of rush would you have to be in to, because you have taken the eggs out of the boiling water and you've put them in the bag, but like, surely you had time to peel them before you did that.
That's the thing. I'd wager they were, like, this was maybe a 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock train I was getting. Those are surely prepared lunchtime. And just unpeeled.
Where did the shells go? In the bag?
Back in the bag, in on top of the unpeeled eggs as of yet. But, like, look, I'm all for a boiled egg in public. But peel it first is all I'm saying.
I'm not for a boiled egg in public. I have to be honest with you. I'm actually kind of against that.
If you're on a train and you need a snack and someone has a boiled egg that's already peeled, I'm not going to fight him on that.
I still think that's the act of lunacy. Maybe just bring a bar of some sort.
If you want your protein, they make bars for that as well. But
even a cereal bar, a Nutri-Grain. Yeah. You're not pulling out a whole egg.
I struggled with eating in public anyway. But I don't think
power move is bringing scrambled eggs and no fork and then just fucking horsing into that.
Dude, bringing like a poached egg loose in a bag.
When you bite into it and it's like dripping down your
everywhere.
Chin.
You're trying to gather it up in your hands, but it just keeps going. And then you finish that, you manage to get it down, and then you pull out a second one.
I know, and it's the moment in between where you're sitting in a four-seater and everyone's looking at him like, holy shit, it's half five on a weekday. Everyone's trying to get home. And you're just like, and to add to it, you need to be watching, like, I don't know, Instagram reels, full volume.
Oh,
no
full
headphones.
Volume out loud. Yeah.
Yeah. Having a little giggle to yourself while you bite into the second poached egg.
And you're not watching one and then scrolling on to the next. You're watching the same one a couple of times.
And every time it gets the same laugh. Like, that's a pretty good one.
It's like an eggy laugh, like through a mouthful of poached egg.
How many times would you have to listen to the same reel? How many eggs do you get through? Or how many minutes pass before somebody attacks you?
I think once you, I think the first egg you get a pass on eating that.
Yeah.
And then once you pull out the second and the video is still playing. Could you put some headphones in?
Yeah. But by the time the third egg comes out, somebody's coming in with some punches.
Oh, someone is like, you're getting Humpty Dumpty'd yourself. Like, You're going to be in bits.
We were not even going to wait until the next stop. You're fucking going out right now, lad.
Yeah, we're getting rid of you.
It's the scene in Spider-Man 2 where they carry him, but instead of hero, like it's a hero thing, it's like a villain. They're like dragging him through the fucking carriage.
Yeah, it's like you mess with, literally, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. But
he's
reversed.
Just a kid, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he's a fucking dickhead is what he is.
I just seen that, I was like, I think that might be the most random meal to ever have on a plane. If somebody has a more random meal that you've seen had on a plane than a full
Raptor
Spotify's
going to ask you a question at the end of this episode. Mm. What's the randomest thing you've seen? Or just what's the weirdest, worst thing to eat on a plane?
Yeah. What is the worst thing to eat? Soup?
I was going to say soup. Soup's a weird one, right?
Soup's a strange one to eat. I have to be honest with you, I don't get soup, right? I don't mind soup. I think it tastes nice, but as a concept, not filling.
I had this discussion only 2 days ago. I have nothing against soup, but I will never pick it.
No, I'm not going anywhere going, you know what? I'm starving. I'd love some soup.
I'm mad for soup right now.
Soup is so lack of nutrition that we replace it with dipping shit tons of bread into it to try and fill us.
When the main part of the meal is what's on the side.
Yeah.
That's an issue for me.
That's an issue, right? I'd rather you serve me, I don't know, anything else that has food, nutrients, just something to fill me, carbs.
Yeah, and like any of that, perfect. How would you feel? Say we're on the plane and I pull out a plate of nachos.
Okay.
What are we doing there? No cheese, because we can't melt it, but I've got salsa.
Oh, how do you get the salsa through customs?
It's loose in a series of 100ml bags.
It's, oh my God. I don't think nachos are that bad.
Because like they're dry, I suppose.
Yeah, you need some wet. You need some just like sticky.
Wet and sticky. But caramel. Also like, and caramel. I don't think sweets should count in this. What's a weird savoury dinner item you could bring on?
Whoa, that's true. I think if you brought a fucking fish, like a full on, salmon. You just had a big plate of salmon and you just pulled out and you were just like, lovely. There we go.
Crab legs.
Crab legs.
You just have all the bits left over.
No, you bring the full crab and you start breaking it off yourself.
you have a deal with like the airline and you just get like actual fajitas, like sizzling, coming out, handed over to you.
And you're trying to wrap them.
Yeah. Sour cream's getting everywhere.
If you brought those taco shells, it would have been much easier, but like fucking trying to wrap them, it's just fucking rattling, going through like...
You're saying this to the person beside you. Well, you live and learn, huh?
Sean, we're going to have to move on, because I have a Sean Solves that I think it's probably the most... what's the word I'm looking for here? Not romantic. It's about a forbidden love, right?
Oh.
It's about what's happening, what's going on. You're obviously our expert on all things, just problems.
Especially romance, Connor.
Especially romance. So if anyone doesn't know, Sean Solves, I give Sean an agony ad problem that came up somewhere else online, and he basically, once again, 100% record, solves it as he always does, possibly perfectly, or too perfectly, really. You're too good at this.
I've started micromanaging other people's lives, you know? My own life, by the way, fantastic. I hope everyone
in flames.
Falling apart at the seams.
Please call me back. Anyone who loves me, please. I'm convinced my best friend is sleeping with my dad.
Interesting.
So when one young woman's parents got divorced, the last thing she thought was her father might find new love in one of her friends who is 30 years younger than him.
How old is he, out of curiosity?
So he is 50.
And she's 20.
She's 20 and her friend is also 20. So
interesting.
She's been friends with this woman since 2018, so quite a few years now.
Yeah.
She posted this week about her predicament and explained that she always sensed a little bit of tension, but she couldn't really, you know, put her finger on what was going on. A little tension between the two of them that sparks up whenever she comes over, with my dad finding ridiculous excuses to leave the room or house, and her getting all awkward. I always attribute it to them being introverted. No big deal, right?
Okay.
This wasn't enough on its own, however, the woman admitted, to suspect the pair of having an affair, obviously. But things continue to stand out for her. She also explained that her friend, who she called Sophie in the post, but it's not her real name, was as close as family. They used to hang out many times each week. Most recently, when they had spent time together, the two women decided to have a movie night. And as they got ready to sit back and relax, the woman noticed a bracelet on Sophie's bedside table and noted how nice it was. However, it was only a few days later, while she was using her father's Amazon account, that she realised he had recently ordered an identical piece of jewellery.
Oh, no. Okay. Later. That seems like pretty damning evidence.
It's a quinky link, though.
Was it her birthday recently?
No. Later, her father abruptly cancelled dinner plans with her. So she called Sophie up to see if she was at... she's got none on today. She gives Sophie a ring. Sophie answers straight away, but during the conversation said that she had plans with her own mother, so couldn't hang out.
Interesting.
Okay?
Interesting. However, call her mother.
However, at one point she heard Elton John's Tiny Dancer play in the background, which is her father's ringtone, followed by an abrupt silence. All this happens while she sat beside her brother, who had just rang her dad.
Okay. Okay. Have we more? And that's all the evidence we have so far.
No, there's more.
Oh, fuck.
The woman wrote that a fortnight ago, her dad had encouraged her to invite Sophie along to a family meal. Because her brother was bringing his girlfriend along, so she's like, you bring Sophie along. Don't worry about it. Basically family. Her dad chose a restaurant and that her friend had been asking for her to go to for ages. But she put it down to a lucky coincidence that they went to the restaurant that Sophie has been wanting to go to for a long time, and her dad just happened to pick that restaurant. Okay. However, once they were at the meal, something else happened that was super weird. My dad went to order the food. I picked out a dish, and so did my brother and his girlfriend. And my dad didn't wait for Sophie to say what she wanted. He ordered for her.
Oh, Dad. That's...
She didn't seem to have a problem with, which is weird, right?
Had they had a little side conversation, maybe, about what
they
were
going to
eat?
She was like, isn't that weird? And Sophie was like, just let it go. I don't want to spoil anyone's mood, so let's just leave it. But so when she confronted Sophie flat out denied what is going on. She said, there's nothing going on, right? But they'd ended it with, even if we were, how would that affect you in any way or form?
Deeply it would affect you, I would say.
Deeply.
It changes the dynamic of the friend group.
So, Sean, I give it to you. There's a mystery here.
Okay.
Is she the crazy one? Or is all this adding up to the fact that maybe the friend and the dad are doing the dirty?
Look. We need to prove it. Okay?
You don't want to see that.
You don't want to see it. So what you need to do is do the exact same thing to Sophie. You're going to have to seduce her dad.
You're going to have to either seduce her dad or her mom. That is the options you have.
And honestly, fair game. If it turns out that your suspicions are wrong, how does it affect Sophie anyway?
Yeah, sure. I'm still your best friend and he is your dad. So it is fine.
Nothing's weird about that, surely.
Yeah. She accused, by the way, her friend of being crazy when confronted what Sophie did.
Gaslighting. I love it.
She's gaslighting classic, yes.
Okay. How do you arrange for two people? Okay. You just need to figure out when your dad has plans.
Cause and then you're going to have to do the classic, follow them in a trench coat and sunglasses.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a stakeout, okay? Yeah. You're going to wander in and be like, hey, I'm making
you
real
guys,
awkward.
What are you doing here? I thought we had plans tonight.
Yeah, this is a terrible way to live your life, but this is Sean Solves, and that means nothing.
You can do anything you want, Sean. It's your, obviously, you're the expert here. We all bow down to you. Please, what do you do?
You need to fully assume that you're correct in everything that you've figured out. And just operate off that. So the shock is gone now. So now you just have to make it as weird as possible for everyone else.
They don't know that you know that they know that you know that they know.
Yeah.
That you know.
Well, they know that you suspect. So Sophie
but
might be trying to call
know that
things
they don't
off.
Know that you know.
No, I'm terrible at figuring out the logic of that kind of sentence. So I appreciate that you've done it, but my brain cannot process that.
Sean, it's simple, right? They don't know that you know that they know that you know that they know that you know, right? And so once they don't know, then you know. You know.
I hate this. So I'm gonna have an aneurysm. You literally like stalled my brain there.
It's a tough one, because if she denies it, then you are going to need hard proof. And the problem with that is you don't want to get that proof.
I think, no, but you also do for closure and to, like, shut down. Like, I think the dad's the weak link. He's the one who's letting things slip. He's keeping his phone on loud.
He's not as clever.
He's ordering for her at a table. Very weird. So, you got to... I mean, just get talking to him. Oh, Sophie's seeing a new fella. And just start worming all that out. Make him jealous. And then be like... And then she's going to go over and see Sophie. And then you're outside with a big net gun. And you just fire that on him. Suddenly he's in a net, hanging over the M50.
So you're saying kill your father.
Kill your father. If Sophie comes to the funeral, she was in love with him.
And she's crying. If she gets sad, then you know. And like, you just have to crocodile tears a way for her to cry.
Yeah, don't cry at your father's funeral.
Then just be like, look, oh, I'm so sad. My dad never got to find any more love after my mother and him split up. Or she passed away. Not quite sure.
He found someone, anyone. That would make me feel so much
especially
better.
Especially somebody close to me that I trust and love already. That
somebody,
would really
I would
help.
Say, 3 decades his younger.
Just randomly, if I had to pick a decade number, I'd say 3.
So they've been friends since they were like 14 then.
Seems super weird on the father's part, yeah.
Little bit weird.
Seems
more
dodgy.
Than a little bit. Bit dodge.
Seems predatory, I'm going to say that.
It doesn't feel not predatory, you know? It's.
But technically, if the 20-year-old is consenting, does it count? No? I'm not on the rules.
This is the argument, yeah.
They Schofield rule. I'm not quite sure.
Well, look, we could follow the Ghost Rider rule of technically fine.
The Kevin Spacey rule.
Oh, God.
I don't know the ins and outs, but I do know not good morally.
Not good. We're not on board with it, I think you can say.
I'm happy to go with that logic, yeah.
So I think... Or you make Sophie jealous. And start setting up your dad with women.
I mean, there's so many ways to go with this. But I think he's the weaker link.
I think he's the one to break.
You can get to him faster than you can get to Sophie. Sophie is your age. She's with it, right? She knows what's going on. And she's not going to let that slip. Especially if you've already confronted her. She's not even revealing it. And you're like, did you have sex with my dad? Which is especially a weird question to ask any of your friends. Think about right now asking any of your friends, have you had sex with one of my parents?
Connor, have you had sex with my dad?
Yes, but that is besides the point.
Glad you two are hanging out.
We're all talking about you. We're both so proud.
Trying to think, because what you want to happen here, you want to be validated and told that, like, you figured this out and what you were thinking is correct. Mm. Do you want them to break up? Presumably. It's a weird dynamic.
Well, you probably don't want Sophie to be your stepmother.
No, Sophie's a bitch, to be fair.
I think they're both dogs. You can't be doing that.
You can't. There's some. Yeah, there's some like honor code here of like, don't.
Does your dad have a bro code? It has. There has to be some sort of code. Daughter code.
There has. Yeah. What? Maybe you talk to your dad and you're just like, oh, Sophie says she's stringing this guy along, and she thinks he's a real idiot. And a dickhead.
Sophie's got gonorrhea.
Yeah. It's riddled with it. God, she's done so well for herself.
She's got chlamydia and herpes. We call her clerpes behind her back. She's fucking riddled.
That's maybe. And then, I mean, that might ensure the breakup, to be fair.
No, you need to figure out then his doctor's appointments. Then you follow him to the doctor's. And if he goes, then you've proven your point.
If he goes to the doctor.
Yeah.
No, you need to be in that doctor's room. To try and see.
So you need to train as a doctor. You need to go to medical school for 7 years. Yeah. Train as a doctor. Then reveal that piece of information. They're already long married. The whole thing's been revealed years ago.
I knew you were together.
But at this point, now is your power move, right? You are now the doctor and you will inspect, I suppose in this scenario, your own father's penis.
Yeah. That's a risk you have to take. If you want to prove.
This really got out of hand.
The Amazon order seems like the most cut and dry. He gave her that bracelet.
Yeah.
I would follow that line of questioning. If like, hey, where'd that bracelet come from? You seeing someone? And then it's like, but you might have already burned that by asking if she was fucking her dad.
She might have got rid of it, yeah. It's a tricky one. It really is. And that's why Sean solves this here, because, I mean, the logical next step is you make one of them jealous.
Yeah. You make one of them jealous at the same time. Fuck her dad.
Or and her mom. Anyone. Just anyone. Somebody
any
who's high
of
up
her
in her family.
Yeah.
Find her family tree, goes high up, and just start having sex with all of them.
Become heir to the estate. Kill them all, inherit the profits.
Then become Sophie's own auntie and mother.
Yeah. Give Sophie away at her and your dad's wedding.
Yeah, but she's really fucked up about it. Now she wants out. And you're like, you're too far in now, Sophie.
You're too far
Sorry.
In. We invested so much in you.
Yeah.
This is how you repay us.
We invested so much. Me and your family are very disappointed in you if you leave.
Maybe that's it. If you're going to be her, if she's going to be your stepmother,
you
need to become her stepmother or step-grandmother.
You need to get in there first.
Yeah. You need to put a ring on that right quick.
I think there's some power moves here. Sean, you've solved another case. I think we can all agree.
Happy
successful. And play the jingle of Sean successfully solves. I'm assuming the jingle's been edited in there. Sean never lets me down on a jingle.
No, and you do listen. You listen to all of them.
And the thing about this is, you wouldn't embarrass me. And that's it. I will say that about you. You wouldn't let me set something up and not play it.
He's doing this. Look, this bit has not been done before, but he's doing it in hopes that I actually put a jingle in, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you mean hope? I don't need the hope. I know you got my back.
Of course. Sorry. Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. We got that code going.
We got the bro code. You know, and you know, if I set up a jingle, you smash it down. That's how this works.
It's in my half of the contract. Now, moving on to our Florida Man segment.
Play the Florida Man jingle.
Oh, God. There we go. Hey, when Spotify asks you a question, tell them how good the jingle was.
There's a load of comments like, wow, what a great jingle.
Yeah. Detective Divilman's discussion group. I expect to see every post for the next, I don't know, 2 days saying, what a good jingle.
Wow. What was your favourite jingle? Was it the Sean Solves jingle or the Florida Man jingle?
Yeah. And then, look. And if you like one or the other, that's okay. You're allowed to have favourites.
We don't want you to fight. They're both excellent. So now we move on to our second Florida Man jingle. I know we have a backup.
Why do we need... Oh, yeah. Oh, the backup. We haven't had to use that in a while.
Why would we introduce it twice?
Every time you say Florida Man, the jingle plays. That's the monkey's paw curse that you have brought upon this podcast.
Every time. And make it like super loud. Like just screams Florida Man.
Oh, there we go. See, we had it just there again.
Fantastic. Oh, but just these are all great. Sean, Florida Man carries around giant shark, promotes fishing to followers.
I mean, to like followers as in following behind him on the street or online?
No, no, followers online, because the man known as Hood Fishing Entertainment on social media documented himself carrying a large shark as if he had just caught a catfish. In the video, the man proceeded to hold the large fish with a tail and take it for a modest walk in the shallow end of the beach, all while sporting a wide grin and acting seemingly unconcerned about the fact that he was handling a fucking shark.
A shark can't twist around to get you though if you're holding it by the tail, can it?
Somebody commented, "Crocodile hunter ain't got shit on the shark catcher."
A crocodile's a more dangerous beast, I would think. It has land and water.
After the walk, the Florida man then walked back to the water and released the shark back into the ocean.
That's cool. Wait, so he just caught a shark. He didn't bring that from home. He just caught a shark.
No, no, he went, found a shark, caught it, dragged it out of the fucking water, held it up and walked around with it, and then put it back into the fucking ocean.
What's mad is that isn't illegal. Like,
I think Florida man, though, I don't think something like that should be illegal, because I think it's one of those where you take your life into your own hands.
Yeah, at a certain point, it's on you.
So there's only a select few that do that and don't immediately die. So if you survive it, then you should be allowed to do it. It's like if you can punch a lion to death, fair fucks to you. Or a bear. If you fight a bear, you should be allowed to successfully post that on Instagram if you win the punching match. Because not normally it doesn't really happen that way.
True, I don't think you can go out searching to murder a bear.
Looking for a fight.
Looking for a fight. Yeah, you're not walking around in like the middle of the night just swinging at bears.
Where are you, bear?
I think that's a self-defense thing, whereas the shark, that's more of a, I don't know, it just feels like there's more honor in catching a shark than killing a bear. You know?
I don't know if that holds up to any scrutiny. Why?
Maybe it's because, a bear is like, well, actually, it's tough. It's tough logic I've brought myself into here.
Yeah, I mean, you've walked into a weird lane.
You're not intending to kill the shark, but you immediately went towards bear murder. Bear aside.
Bear aside. Well, like, if you go out searching for... I think either way, if you leave your home with the intention, I'm going to fight a shark or a bear, I think we should all just sit back, wait to see what happens. No weapons allowed, though. That's the rules. You're not allowed to bring a gun, because that bullshit is stupid. I'm talking, do it. If you're going to do it, do it. And turn up, fists up, ready to go.
Okay, well then how about this? The first time, that's fine. If you make a habit of doing it, then I think it's illegal.
Yeah, if it's two or more, you're not allowed. You get one veto. We are like, you get one fight.
Yeah. And then I think you can fight any animal once, but if you fight it twice, it becomes a grudge, and then it's a problem.
And if you lose, you definitely aren't allowed a rematch.
Oh, yeah. If you lose, take your lumps, learn from it.
Yeah, you gotta go, and you can't badmouth them on social media either. There's an NDA that has to be signed that you have to leave it.
Yeah, it's a clean fight. The animal can do whatever it wants. You can't use any weapons.
Can't choose anything. Right, that's rule one. What would you fight then? You got a choice.
The first animal I'm going to fight.
Yeah. Well, you only get one.
I only get one. I'm trying to think of one that is still significant and cool, but also wouldn't kill me immediately.
Mm.
Like, I don't know, maybe a goose? Could fight a goose.
Goose. A shark? No, a giraffe.
You're not fighting a giraffe.
Yeah, but like, you wheeze in and out, like, just
I don't,
in between
the
legs.
It's a herbivore, man. You're not going to get any street cred for killing a giraffe.
What are you talking about? What if I did, like, a Star Wars, like, string, and he's running, then he, like, trips up, and then when he hits the ground...
So you're going to just kick a giraffe when it's on the ground?
Yeah, obviously.
Very heroic, Connor.
You get one fight! You're allowed one! You said there was no judgment!
No. That's true. That is true.
We've never brought an honor system, so like you can fight. Like you can
there's
fight
cool
a
animals.
Mouse. Yeah, like you can fight a mouse if you want, but like you're a little bitch. You gotta go big or go home.
Yeah, like the biggest animal you could fight to not die but still win.
Well, giraffe is literally the biggest animal you could fight that you could probably win.
True, and it's a land animal as well, which I think is important.
You don't want to go into the sea. You don't want to go into that terrain. You're not winning.
Like a sick hyena? Could I fight a sick hyena?
Do you mean sick as rock on my dudes, or sick as in like he has a cough?
Sick as in he's not operating at 100%.
Yeah, like he's got a little bit of a sniffles, like, you know what I mean?
Animals to fight. Here we go. Which animals could you beat in a fight? There we go.
Animals to fight.
Oh, this is a graph. This is fantastic.
What are you talking about? Graphs?
So, no, it's like, it's the animal, and then it's like a scale of 0 to 100. So, like,
okay,
96% of people think they could beat a rat.
Yeah, okay.
It's also broken into British people versus Americans, and Americans is just way higher across the board.
Americans just assume they can do, and you are the American version of us. That you're probably. Like, yeah, I can definitely do that.
Do you know what? That's an interesting shout. A cobra, because it's not the biggest. It's technically easy to kill.
I ain't going.
But it can kill you
either.
Way quicker.
I ain't going anywhere near any snakes. Fuck that altogether. Right?
I feel like I'd outthink a cobra.
What are you... That is the stupidest thing you've ever said. And you've said
what,
so many dumb things.
You could, I have a higher mental capacity than a cobra?
What are you going to do, Kevin McAllister, a cobra?
I'm going to zip and dodge, and then I'll stamp on it. It'll be fine.
Zip and dodge.
Zipping and dodging.
I think that fight lasts 34 seconds. You run in, try to zip once. The cobra's reactions immediately adapt, bite you in the leg, and you die.
I don't think it would bite me. I don't think I would get bit by a cobra. I am built different, as we all know.
I would suck the poison out of myself. Simply. Yeah. That's what I would do.
What else do we have? 74% of people think they could take an elephant.
Elephant is eating you all day.
See, again, like an elephant causes no bother to anyone. Like, I don't think there's honour in fighting an elephant.
Yeah, you gotta pick a little dickhead. You can't just be picking the nice animals.
Like, a moose? 46% of people think they could take a moose. I'm not that insane. That's one of the last remaining megafauna, Connor.
You could fight a cobra, but not a fucking moose.
Which would you rather, a cobra or a moose?
Moose.
A moose would go through you.
Lad, but a cobra is much smaller, harder to predict. A moose, at least you can run. You can zip and dodge a moose because it's bigger and can't turn as quick.
You put me and a cobra on a basketball court. One of us is walking out of there, and it's the one of us with legs.
What?
I don't think this is outlandish to say, to be honest.
Can I just ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
Are you playing basketball or fighting? What's the story?
We're fighting, but it's just it's a good neutral zone, you know?
A basketball court.
Yeah. It's my turf and his.
One of those is walking out and you think you are going to survive a cobra?
Yeah.
Is there all snakes? Would you survive all snakes or is it just cobras?
Some snakes are massive. Like a boa, like, I'm probably not surviving.
Yeah.
I probably can't kill that fast enough is the thing.
Yeah. Do you have any weapons? No.
No, we're not allowed weapons in this. A rattlesnake I'd
have. You would
I'd
die.
Have.
Every single snake would kill you.
What snake could I fight?
I like the idea that it comes back. Give us your height, your weight. What do you bench? We need to know more information.
This is a question from 13 years ago. Is there a snake that would have a more than 50% chance of killing an unarmed man in direct combat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anacondas, pythons. No mention of cobra, to be
cobras
honest.
Are little bitch boys of the snake world.
Yeah, cowards they call them.
Yeah.
It's what the C stands for in cobra. Yeah, and look, a boa constrictor can, you know, kill a tiger or a crocodile or something, but...
Yeah.
I'm not taking on one of those. I'm taking
but
on
you are simply built
snake.
Different, is what
I'm
you're
simply
saying.
Simply built different, yeah.
I can't I'm believe that you just said basketball court, you versus a cobra, and you're winning.
I don't, like, fair enough, that's not the cobra's home field advantage. That's what those
it's not yours
me.
Either. How, are you throwing trees?
No, if I'm fighting a cobra, that's pretty good. If it's just, it's flat, it's open, there's no obstructions for the cobra to hide.
Yeah, also
I'm killing
no obstructions
that
for you to hide with.
I don't need to hide, I'm bigger than
a
cobra.
Oh my fucking god, you're gonna die.
How lethal is a cobra, actually? is a cobra.
How lethal is a cobra is a man take the search after the previous searches of would I beat snakes?
So someone's going to come to my house and be like, hey.
Dude, come on.
Many patients recover with no specific treatment. Yeah. The neurotoxic effects of cobra venom are reversible, though motor recovery may take up to 7 days, as many as 10 weeks.
He's going to paralyze you, lad, and then he's going to kill you.
Reports of death within 1 hour of cobra bites do exist, but a time frame of 2 to 6 hours is more typical of fatal cases. So
I think your idea is you're going to kill him and then die later on.
Yeah, we'll go down, we'll punch each other at the same time and knock ourselves out. But I'll be dead.
I'm going to miss you, is what I would say. It's going to be a sad day, but at your funeral I am going to be like, you kind of deserved it, to be fair. Did you not see his Google searches? He was kind of asking for it.
If anyone wants to kill me, tonight is the night, because just poison me and they'll assume I did it myself.
They'll assume a cobra got to
a cobra snuck in through the letterbox.
Bouncing a basketball as he went.
I don't want to Google how to fight a cobra, but what do you I'll mean, do that how my do you own time.
You're like, I have my own techniques, thank you very much. I don't need yours, okay?
Yeah.
Jesus. What is your technique? Throw a kick?
I'd be kicking a cobra, to be honest. Yeah, I'd hunker down. I'd zip and dodge left to right. He'd make one wrong move and lunge the wrong way, and then I'm on him. And I'm just
genuinely, you might be the stupidest person I've ever met.
What the fuck are we doing here? All right, did you not hear my perfect record with Sean Solves?
You're dead.
I really shouldn't have energy drinks before this, should I?
You always keep claiming you can beat animals in fights after it.
But I know my limits, you know. Oh, that bite does look bad.
That's
though.
What annoys me more. Because you're like, yeah, I'd beat a cobra, but Jesus, I'm not fighting a boa constrictor. Because there's a logic somehow in your brain that is like, no, well, obviously, boas, I'm not fucking with them. But
I'm
like,
not an
cobras,
idiot. Like,
I'm not a fucking idiot, but cobras, I am going to kill. Yeah.
It's what we obviously always say with like conspiracy theories. Like, the easiest way to make yourself seem credible is to make something else seem like nonsense.
Yeah.
So me being like, no, I could get a cobra, but not a boa. It's like, okay, this guy knows snakes.
This guy knows what he's talking about. I think we can leave it there for this week's Weird News, Sean.
Look, if we want to leave it on my victory, that's perfectly fine with me.
We did not. We did not leave it on your victory, please.
Would you like me to take us out?
Yeah, why not?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Weird News Wednesday. We will be back on Friday with Hero or Zero. Next Wednesday, then, with another episode of Weird News Wednesdays. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon. Patreon.com/Heroes for Hire podcast. Link to that is in the description. Everyone who supports us over there helps to keep the show going, and we couldn't do it without everyone. You do also get a shout-out on the show, so thank you to Roisin and Baby Ben Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, Waffles Loves You and Hopes You Have a Good Day, David Clark, Sean Chuckle in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever, and congrats Roisin on your baby Helm Roos, Danny McLaughlin, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Frost Overwhelmed by Uni and Other Bad Choices, Ed Ball, Connor and Lorraine are debating which is cuter, Sean's proposal in Japan or Connor's proposal on the Pelp, Russ, a polite request that we do not hear any more spiders where they should not be, reports Parfit. Jackson Bruheim decided to let Sean stay as host. Liz had a few too many on St. Paddy's Day and tipsily subscribed to the Patreon. Kira Lawler, Judge Lahey, The Amazing World of Keza, Mikey the Leinster Ledgebag, Chair's number one fan, Kyle Borowski, Rory screamed that he was responded to on Twitter, and Sean subbed to the Patreon after 10 creamy pints. Thank you all for your support. We really, really, really appreciate it. If you want to support the show, head on over to Patreon or the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is at heroesforhirepod, the 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Vivelman's discussion group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Logan.
I've been Sean Meehan.
I shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.